Welcome to Reign of Grace. This program is brought to you by Reign of Grace Media Ministries, an outreach ministry of Eager Avenue Grace Church in Albany, Georgia. It is our pleasure and privilege to present to you the gospel message of the sovereign grace and glory of God in the person and work of the Lord Jesus Christ. We pray that today's program will be a blessing to you. Thank you for listening, and now for today's program.
Welcome to our program today. I'm glad you could join us. If you'd like to follow along in your Bibles with the message, I'm going to be preaching from the book of 1 John, chapter 5. It's the last chapter of this book of 1 John, John's first letter to the church. And the title of the message today is Overcoming the World. Overcoming the World. Now, I dealt with the first few verses of this chapter in the last messages, but I'm going to go back and read just to get the context. What we're going to be looking at mainly is verses 4 and 5. But let's go back and just read from verse 1. And it says here, and this is John writing by inspiration of the Spirit. It says, "Whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ is born of God." So to believe that Jesus is the Christ is not just saying words, saying Jesus is the Messiah or Jesus is Lord. But there's meaning behind that name. Jesus is the Christ. He's the Messiah. And the Messiah is identified and distinguished in the Bible from Genesis all the way to Revelation. And so to say that Jesus is the Christ is to believe the gospel. He that believeth the gospel shall be saved. And that's the good news of salvation by the grace of God in and by the glorious person and finished work of the Lord Jesus Christ as the surety, the substitute, the redeemer, the preserver, the intercessor of his people. All of those things are involved. So Jesus, the name Jesus means he shall save his people from their sins. The name Christ means anointed, or the title Christ means anointed one, means Messiah. And what was the Messiah? Who is the Messiah? He's Jesus, God manifest in the flesh. He's the Christ. He's the one who would come and die for the sins of his people, whom God had given him before the foundation of the world, those whose names are written on the Lamb's Book of Life, the elect, the church, his sheep. All of those titles, and he would bring forth, he would put away their sins by his death on the cross. The blood of Christ, the blood of Jesus cleanses us from all sin, John wrote in chapter 1. And by that he would bring forth an everlasting righteousness, which is the merit of his obedience unto death, that by which God would justify his people, that is, declare them righteous in his sight. And out of Christ's death, burial, and resurrection comes eternal life, spiritual life in the new birth for all of God's sheep, all of God's elect, as the Holy Spirit brings us under the gospel, gives us spiritual life, eyes to see, ears to hear, a new heart, new life. And he preserves us unto glory. There's no such thing as being saved one day and lost the next, because Jesus is the Christ. He's the Messiah. He's the Savior. Salvation's of the Lord, conditioned on him, not conditioned on us. So, whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ is born of God, and everyone that loveth him that begat loveth him also that is begotten of him. Now, that reaches back to the commandments that John is talking about. We're going to see that here in these next verses. Keeping the commandments. And the commandments that he's talking about is, we see it back in verse 22 of chapter 3, where he says, "And whatsoever we ask, we receive of him, because we keep his commandments and do those things that are pleasing in his sight." That doesn't mean that we're going to get anything and everything we ask for. He's talking about salvation and the blessings and benefits of salvation. And everyone who believes on Christ has those. And he says, and this is his commandment, verse 23, that we should believe on the name of his Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another as he gave us commandment. So the issue here is believing in Christ, loving his truth, and loving those who are in that family, loving the brethren, staying with the brethren, united to the brethren. And so he says in verse 2 of chapter 5, by this we know that we love the children of God when we love God and keep his commandments. That's not talking about the Ten Commandments or the old Mosaic law. If it were, we'd all be lost. But it's talking about the grace that God gives his people to believe in Christ and the love that the Spirit sheds abroad within the hearts of God's people to love God and to love his people. The church, brethren, brotherly love. And I've talked about that. Verse 3, for this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments. And his commandments are not grievous. His commandments are not legal mandates by which we earn salvation, which is an impossibility anyway. That would be a grievous, burdensome commandment. If God were to tell us that he would save us or bless us based upon what we do, that's a grievous commandment. But the obedience of faith is the obedience that's motivated by grace, love, gratitude. In other words, it's not a legal effort trying to earn our way into God's favor. And it's not some kind of a mercenary work whereby we're trying to earn our reward. It's a gift of God's grace. Now look at verse 4. Here's the text that we want to go to today in overcoming the world. For whatsoever or whosoever is born of God overcometh the world. And this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. Now let's read verse 5 before I make some comments on this. Verse 5 says, who is he that overcometh the world, but he that believeth that Jesus is the Son of God? Overcoming the world. The word world in the Bible is a very interesting word. In the Bible, the word world can sometimes refer to the people who are connected to the world, which is unbelievers. The word world never refers to every individual without exception. And so it can refer to those who are connected to the world, which means unbelievers. Like back over in 1 John chapter 2, in verse 15, he says, love not the world. Now the world there is talking about an ungodly spiritual connection to the world, which in essence is spiritual death. And he says to believers, to those who look to Christ and rest in him for all salvation, in 1 John 2:15, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. He says, if any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. If you're connected to the world and not to Christ, then the love of God is not in you. The love of the Father is not in you. And he says in verse 16 of 1 John 2, for all that is in the world, and here's what he means, the lust of the flesh, that's the desires of the flesh. And let me say this now, when you think of the word lust, don't just relegate that to sexual desire. That's concluded, but it's any unlawful desire. And I always use this as an example to put it in perspective for you. If you desire salvation from God based upon your works, that's lust. That's an unlawful desire because God has forbidden that. Salvation is by grace through the work of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's not through your works. And so if you reject God's way of salvation by his grace, which glorifies him and exalts Christ, and if you reject that, and opt for salvation by your works, which glorifies you and exalts yourself, that's an unlawful desire, because God, the gospel in essence has the force of law. Believe the gospel. The gospel is the power of God unto salvation. You say, well, what do you mean it has the force of law? Well, it's not a suggestion. God's not saying, I suggest, if you have a mind to, believe the gospel. Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. That's a command. That's what it is. It's not even, in essence, as men think of offers, it's not just an offer, it's a command. It's not just an invitation, it's a command. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you shall be saved. And that faith is the gift of God. We know we don't have it in us naturally. So when you see the things that are in the world, and when he talks about the lust of the flesh, religious lust is included there. And he said the lust of the eyes, verse 16 of 1 John 2, that's judging the value of things based upon what we see, not upon what God says. You see? You know what? There's a verse in Luke chapter 16, I believe it's verse 15, where he's talking to the Pharisees who judge righteousness and holiness by their own human standard, and which was a sliding scale. And they believed they had attained righteousness by their works. And he spoke these words to those who judged themselves righteous. And he said in Luke 16:15, he says, but that which is highly esteemed among men is an abomination to God. And what he was talking about is their works of righteousness that they claimed were righteous, that they highly esteemed. The Apostle Paul spoke of that. In Philippians 3, when he spoke of his conversion, he said that which he thought was profitable, that which he thought was things that he did by which he attained salvation, he now counted loss for the revelation of God in Christ, who is the only righteousness that God will receive. You see, my righteousness before God is not what I do or what I think or what I feel. It's Christ, the Lord, my righteousness. It's His righteousness imputed, accounted to me. And that's the standard by which God will judge the world. I quote it all the time, Acts 17:31. God has appointed a day in which He will judge the world in righteousness by that man whom He hath ordained, and that He hath given assurance unto all men, and that He hath raised Him from the dead. And that's Christ. I must have Christ's righteousness charged to my account, as my sins were charged to His account, and He died for those sins and put away those sins, satisfied justice. I must have His righteousness charged to me. And Paul said, I count it all loss. He said, I even count it but dumb. So the lust of the eyes that indicates a connection to the world is a sinner who judges the value of things not by what God says, not by the standard that God gives, but by what he sees naturally. You've heard the old saying, everything that glitters is not gold. Well, everything that seems righteous to men is not righteousness to God. Understand that. Now he goes on in verse 16 of chapter 2, for all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. And that's self-righteousness. The pride of life is self-righteousness. The pride of life is a sinner thinking that he's attained enough by his works to please God and to be saved. That's the pride of life. It's a person who says, I have life because I've done this, that, or the other. But you see, humility, which is the opposite of pride, is when a sinner is brought to submit to God's way of salvation in Christ. a sinner who's like that old publican in Luke 18, beating on his breast saying, God, be merciful to me, the sinner. I have no righteousness to plead before God. I have no works that are worth pleading before God. It's all Christ, His blood, His righteousness. That's what it's all about. And so he says, for all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but that's of the world. Now, when God brings a sinner, and this is our text now, he that believeth that Jesus is the Christ overcometh the world. And then who is he that overcometh the world? He that believeth that Jesus is the Son of God. When God brings a sinner to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, that sinner repents of the dead works of the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. He turns against that way, turns completely away from it, and looks to Christ as the author and finisher of our faith. That's overcoming the world. That's overcoming the world. And from then on, the world will be against you. Over in the book of John, chapter 15, beginning at verse 18, the Lord taught his disciples this very thing when he told them. He said in verse 18, if the world hate you. Now, why would the world hate God's people? Well, let me break from that. I'll come back to John 15. I know I'm going over the scriptures here, but this is important for us to understand. Over in the book of John, chapter 3, we have some of the most profound words you'll find in the scripture concerning a believer's relationship in Christ against the world. And he says here in verse 18, this is John 3:18, he that believeth on him, that's Christ, he that believeth on Christ is not condemned. Faith in Christ is an evidence that we've been saved by the grace of God. It's an evidence that we are God's elect. Faith in Christ is not the cause of our salvation. It's not the ground of our salvation, but it's the fruit of what Christ has accomplished to save his people. And so when you have the gift of faith, you see, Ephesians 2:8, you know, for by grace are you saved through faith, that not of yourselves. It's the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. When you're given the gift of faith, you give evidence that you're not condemned. You're saved. You're justified in God's sight. Your sins have been put away by the blood of Christ. And you have been declared righteous in God's sight based upon Christ's righteousness imputed. And when God the Holy Spirit gives you the faith to believe, that's when you're aware and you're given the knowledge of that, and your conscience is cleansed by the blood of Christ. So he that believeth on him, John 3:18, is not condemned. But he that believeth not is condemned already. My friend, if you do not believe the gospel of God's grace in the Lord Jesus Christ and this book, and you continue throughout your life in unbelief and die in unbelief, that gives evidence that you're condemned already. And it says, because he have not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. Christ is the one and only way of salvation. And verse 19 says this, and this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world. Now, what is the light? That's the gospel. That's Christ. Christ himself is the light. And his gospel truth is the light that shines forth in him. So the light is come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil. And the deeds there is speaking of their religious deeds. Remember that in John chapter 3, Christ is talking to a man named Nicodemus who was a religious Pharisee. And his deeds were evil. And it wasn't because of his lack of sincerity as some people say. It's because he didn't believe in Christ. He sought righteousness by works of the law rather than in Christ. And so he says in verse 20, "For everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved," discovered. The concealment of human morality will be removed because those works are aimed at glorifying the sinner, not the Savior. And so over here, back over in John 15 now, Christ says in verse 18, he says, "If the world hate you, you know that it hated me before it hated you. If you were of the world," verse 19, "the world would love his own. But because you are not of the world, but I have chosen you out of the world, therefore the world hateth you." Do you see that? The world hates Christ and his people because our very existence shows that their deeds are evil when we tell them the truth. And so they're against us. So when we are brought to faith, go back to 1 John 5 now, our text. In order to be brought to faith, you have to be born of God. Faith is not natural to you and me. Left to ourselves, as people talk about free will, which is not scriptural, left to ourselves, we will willingly turn against any notion of salvation by God's grace. But when we're born of God and brought to believe in Christ, that's when we overcome the world. And the victory, verse 4 of 1 John 5, "And this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith." Our believing didn't give us victory over the world. Our believing in Christ, who gave us victory over the world. Do you see the difference there? A lot of people say, "Well, it's my faith, it's my belief." You cannot separate, in the Bible, you cannot separate faith from the object of faith. It's Christ who has overcome the world. Back over in John chapter 16, he makes this statement. This is verse 33 of John 16. He told his disciples, "These things I have spoken unto you, that in me you might have peace. In the world you shall have tribulation, trouble. But be of good cheer, I, Christ, have overcome the world." So our believing is not what overcomes the world. It's Christ in whom we believe that overcomes the world. And that's why he says in verse 5, "Who is he that overcometh the world but he that believeth that Jesus is the Son of God?" You see, it's not our faith that makes the difference. It's Christ who makes the difference. It's not our believing upon that is the ground upon which we are victorious. We do believe, and believing is necessary. But that's the gift of God, which comes from Christ, by whom the world has been overcome and by whom victory has been obtained. You remember in 1 Corinthians 15, "O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory?" Well, who gained victory over the sting of death and the grave? Christ did. And our faith is not in our faith. Our faith is in him, if we believe in him. Over in 1 John chapter 5, when the Bible talks about the world, the context tells you who it is. Many people quote John 3:16 and say, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." That's not talking about every individual in the world. The Bible says that God hates the workers of iniquity. Those are sinners to whom God imputes sin. Now, his elect, his people, whom Christ redeemed on the cross, God does not impute sin to them. Romans 8:33, "Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It's God that justifies. Who can condemn us? It's Christ that died, yea, rather is risen, at the right hand of the Father, making intercession." That's talking about the world of God's elect, Jew and Gentile, God's people. And how do you know who they are? They are those who believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. Give you an example of that. Look at 1 John 5:20, since we're at that passage. Here John concludes his book, his first epistle, by these words, "And we know that the Son of God is come and hath given us an understanding." Now he's talking about believers, isn't he? We'll look back at verse 19. He says, "And we know that we are of God." Who is of God? Those who believe that Jesus is the Christ. Those who have overcome the world because looking to Christ, who is the victory. Those to whom God has given an understanding that Jesus is the Christ. We know that we are of God. "And the whole world lieth in wickedness." The whole world lieth in the wicked one. They exist in the wicked one. They follow Satan. Now, all of us follow Satan by nature as we're born in dead in trespasses and sin. But God, who is rich in mercy, as we're told in Ephesians chapter 2, wherewith he loved us, has brought Christ into the world to save us from our sins. And the evidence that we're of that number is when God gives us faith to believe in Christ. Do you believe in Christ? Do you believe that Jesus is the Son of God, that he's the Christ, the Messiah, who accomplished the full redemption of all the people for whom he died on that cross? That his righteousness alone demands their salvation and you overcome the world. That's the issue. That's how we have victory, not in ourselves, but in Christ. He said, "I have overcome the world." That's why he says, "Be of good cheer." Be of good cheer, he says. "I have overcome the world." And all that he has for his people, all that he gives to his people, is a victory. Victory in Christ. Hope you'll join us next week for another message from God's Word.
We are glad you could join us for another edition of Reign of Grace. This program is brought to you by Reign of Grace Media Ministries, an outreach ministry of Eager Avenue Grace Church in Albany, Georgia. To receive a copy of today's program or to learn more about Reign of Grace Media Ministries or Eager Avenue Grace Church, write us at 1102 Eager Drive, Albany, Georgia, 31707. Contact us by phone at 229-432-6969 or email us through our website at www.theletterrofgrace.com. Thank you again for listening today, and may the Lord be with you.